Work. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Hydration problems? Tree Diaper has you covered.
Tree Diaper is a revolutionary watering system that slowly releases water around the base of any tree or plant as the soil dries. The Tree Diaper is filled with water from rain or when you water, and slowly releases water over 3 weeks. Every time it rains, Tree Diaper recharges. No pipes, hoses, or electricity needed. You can water your plants and trees, whether they're right by the house, down the road, or in the back 40. It also works under mulch. So whether you're a first-time gardener or advanced, Tree Diaper will improve the way you water your plants. It's made in the USA. You can find all the sizes they have available at treediaper.com. That's treediaper.com.
Take the guesswork out of watering your plants. treediaper.com. Well, another thing in which you can take the guesswork out of is growing plants that will produce year after year with minimal amount of effort on your part. We're talking about perennials that you can put in your garden that basically do the work for you. We've got a list of them. Some we grow, some we will grow, and some we encourage you to grow. And we'll start with asparagus. Asparagus can be grown pretty much anywhere, can last 20 to 50 years, and produce every year without fail after you get it established.
Right. Now, depending on what zone you're in, you might have more options. But these are pretty much universal for all zones where you can have these perennial edibles. So yeah, so asparagus is a perennial vegetable, and we just planted some last year, last spring.
If we knew what we know now 10 years ago, we would have put it in the ground 10 years ago.
Right.
But it, you know, it's one of those things.
And asparagus is kind of funny when it grows because it looks like it shouldn't be growing, but it is growing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a joke plant almost. So it just grows straight out of the ground. And you would think it probably would grow on like a bush or something, but it just grows out of the ground.
Little sticks coming out of the ground. Now you've got green, you can do white, and there's purple varieties of asparagus. Homegrown asparagus compared to store-bought asparagus, no comparison. Even if you just get it from the farmer's market because it was typically harvested in the last 8 hours, incredible flavor there is. Now, another one that many people may not be familiar with is sunchokes or Jerusalem artichokes, which is not the globe that people may associate with that terminology.
Right. And I know like most people know them as sunchokes or sunroot, something like that. And they actually are related to the sunflower family and the dahlia family. But what it is it's a plant that grows a very tall flower on top. That's not the part you eat. The part you eat is underground, and it's a like a tuber, and it tastes like a, I don't know, like a sweeter, less starchy potato, and
with a little touch of turnip rutabaga mixed in.
Yeah, like a little root crappy,
earthy, little parsnip mixed in.
Yeah.
Kind of a little bit of combination. That's kind of what they taste like.
Yeah, and they're pretty good. I like them, and they are perennial. They can be a teeny bit invasive, not as invasive as other plants like mint or something, but they can grow or spread a little bit, so that's something to keep in mind.
And there's a lot of things in which you can do with them. You can eat them raw. You can roast them. You can pickle them. You can can them in certain applications, and they will come back for many, many years, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. There's a burgundy variety and a white variety, and they can and they're found in a lot of places across the country. And if you don't know what you're looking for, you will miss it every time in the natural setting because it looks just like a weed.
Right. It does. It does. And like I said, it produces really pretty flowers. So that's a fun part too. So the next one is rhubarb.
Which is a staple in a lot of European allotments. You see a lot of rhubarb in those in videos and imagery the size of small cars, and they can last 7 to 15 years. You got to divide them. We are able to grow it in a container. Can be done, and it is done successfully. We started ours from seed. Many people will get a 2-year root or crown and plant it that way, and it will produce the plant. Stalks are edible. There is green, a whitish, and a red variety. The leaves are toxic, so that's
right.
Why
yeah,
you don't see the leaves in the store. You just see the stalks.
You just eat the stalks, so you don't eat the leaves.
It's an acquired taste. It's very bitter. If you're not familiar or you don't like bitter things, I associate rhubarb as a bitterness flavor. But
it's kind of sour, bitter. Now,
when you mix it in with like a strawberry rhubarb pie, you really don't notice it as much, but you got to know what you're getting into before you invest the time and the space in to grow any of these things.
Right. So if you're not sure about rhubarb, I mean, I feel like everybody in the Midwest knows about rhubarb, but maybe where you live, you're like, I've never had that. That's not a thing here. You can definitely a lot of times go to like an organic food store, especially in the spring, like the later spring. And they usually will have rhubarb for sale.
Yeah, and most stores have that. It's not going to be as good as what you would grow, but you at least get the flavor flavor compounds and figure out if you like it or not. Strawberries. We grew strawberries in our garden for about 6 years. Typical lifespan of a strawberry, we had June bearing, is between 5 and 7 years. And I think, if I remember right, and I would have to go back and look at videos, I think we had like 75 or 115 square feet or something like that. And they had a lot of runners, and we were getting upwards of 15 pounds a year of strawberries out of our own garden.
I would say it was between 70 and 100 square feet. But yeah, it was. They were fun to grow, and they were very prolific. They kind of took over that patch because they have the runners. But, you know, we had a lot of strawberries at one point. I remember that one summer we harvested a ton of them.
We never went to a pick-your-own farm.
It was just so many.
Right.
So it's like when it comes to strawberries, you want to have more, I would say, especially we had the June-bearing kind as opposed to the ever-bearing. So that was – we would get that bulk of the June harvest.
In ground, my pet peeve is people who try to grow strawberries in a container. You're babying that thing for 50 weeks a year in order to get 2 weeks and about 12 strawberries off of it. So if you're going to do that, just bypass that and buy organic or go to your pick-your-own farm. Much better investment utilizing that container for something else rather than a plant that produces just 2 weeks a year or 3 weeks a year for a dozen or so berries. Another one is berry plants. So that gives you the option of raspberries, golden raspberries, black raspberries,
blueberries.
Blueberries, you need acidic soil. You plant them in a normal garden bed, they will die.
You know, I want to talk about this because there's this video that's going around and has been on the social media, and it shows to take a fresh blueberry and squish it, and then you plant it in a party cup, and all of a sudden you should have a blueberry plant, and maybe that might happen, but once you get to the point, then it's like, oh, just plant it outside, and that's not the case. You need to make sure. I mean, yes, you could probably start a blueberry from a blueberry,
right?
But once you don't just all of a sudden go out to your back door, walk out the back door, go to the left and plant this plant. It's not going to keep growing. So you want to keep in mind that blueberries do want that acidic soil.
Right. False. A lot of stuff on the internet is for clicks and ad buys, and that's it. Two more very quickly. Chives come back year after year. You can divide them, as well as horseradish comes back many, many years, and you can divide that, as well as mint, but you want to put mint in a container or a controlled environment. Otherwise, mint will shoot runners like Creeping Charlie, and you will have a garden of mint that will choke out everything else. So just some things in which you could grow in your garden next year. And there's fruit trees and other bushes in which produces edible quantities of food. But just give you an idea, some things you might want to consider to locate and take up some real estate that does a lot of work for you is perennial plants. Well, another thing, Holly, nights are getting colder. Kids are getting back in school, and we've all, as well as us, have forgotten about our lawn, and you don't want to do that.
Yeah, just because it's fall, we don't want to forget about our yards and those Japanese beetles. You know, just a few weeks ago, they were all over the place, but they may be gone, but they're not far. Not only did they feast on your roses and berries, this summer they laid eggs in your turf so they can start again next year. You want to take a stand with Phylum's GrubGon. GrubGon is a non-chemical BT granular that specifically targets scarab pests and their larvae. So you simply add the granular with a spreader, irrigate into the soil, and let the naturally occurring bacteria do its job.
Not only is GrubGon easy to use, but the best part about it, it's non-chemical choice. Effectively, it's the only non-chemical choice to effectively control grubs. And the best part about it, it does not have any toxicity that affects pollinators, beneficial insects such as ladybugs, butterflies, and bees. That's grub gone. Has zero label restrictions, uses around flowers, so you don't have to worry about those insects picking it up and taking back to their homes and toxifying their whole families. Grub gone from phylumbioproducts.com, the natural choice. That's phylumbioproducts.com, phyllom bioproducts.com.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.